Welcome to the media ministry of the Bible Church of Brownsburg. The teacher for this message is Amanda Mahoney.
Get some stuff up here. I need everybody to grab their phone. Yes, your phone. If you have a smartphone, you need to get it out. Go to your internet browser and go to the website Kahoot, Kahoot.it. No www dots, nothing like that. So it's Kahoot. Sorry, I can't spell. .it. Kahoot.it. When you get there, it's going to ask you to put a little game pin in there. This game pin, 108-3950, put that in. Type in your name, or if you want to use a nickname, you can do that, but you just, yeah, that's fine too. And hit enter. If you can't get in, that's fine. I can absolutely help you out. So how many of you have ever heard of this game, Kahoot? If you have school-aged kids, they may have come home and said, Mom, Dad, we played Kahoot today. It was so much fun. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a little bit of fun. If you've never played before, that's okay, too. Does anybody need more time putting in their name? Captain America, love it. Thanks, Captain America. Okay, go ahead and click Start. So here's how Kahoot works. There's going to be a question on the screen. You'll see the question on the screen, and you'll see some answer choices. On your phone, you'll see two buttons to click. So our practice question says, choose the red triangle. Look at your phone. Choose the red triangle. Choose the red one. Don't choose the blue one. Okay, this is a practice. Kahoot usually has a countdown. So you have about 30 seconds to choose the right answer. This is not a trick question. 17 of you got it right. Good job. So a lot of times you can use this as a review game, and your kids will want to be the fastest one to answer that question. We are not doing speed today, friends, okay? We're actually going to use this as a polling mechanism. So I've got a couple questions for you after this one that are just to agree or disagree, okay? Nobody's answers are gonna show up there. You can see, okay, 17 of you answered and you chose the right one. Nobody got the wrong one. Nobody's names are coming up there. When you play this and you award points, you'll actually see like a podium, and you can see who answered first, who answered the fastest and got points for this, and you know, you can kind of rank everybody. We're just using this as a poll for today. So I've got about seven other questions for you guys to either agree or disagree with. There are no right or wrong answers. This is just what you all believe or feel is what you agree with or disagree with. All right, ready for the next question? So Jillian answered first. Good job, Jillian. No points awarded. Okay, I own a digital device, a phone, a tablet, a computer, etc. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? I know. You're going to see lots of fun things that come up. You're going to be waiting for others to answer. We've got 18 answers in. And again, there's no right or wrong answer, but 18 of you, anybody who participated, you all have a digital device. Fantastic to know. You probably have more than one digital device. All right, great. Let's go to the next question. As they were growing up, or as I was growing up, if you don't have kids, my children had access to technology. That could be a phone, tablet, computer, etc. Any type of access, whether it was something that you oversaw or they had their own. I know, and I didn't have a Likert scale, sorry. Yes. Okay, so we're going to see some differences here. As some of your children grew up, they might not have had access to the same technology that children of today have access to. I grew up in a home that had internet, but we had to share the internet with somebody down the street because it was dial-up and we didn't want to pay all the money. So there's lots of different types of access to technology, but the majority of us have kids or have had kids that had access to some type of technology. All right, next question. Somebody's on a lightning streak. I have at one point or another had concerns or fears about my child or children using technology safely. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? Yeah, I think if 18 come in, I think somebody might be in there. But yeah, you can click. Oh, 19 answers now. So no. Okay, so some of you agree with that, some of you don't. I don't have kids, but I do have students that I teach, and I am always concerned about their use of technology and using it safely. Okay, I'm glad that we all mostly share in those same concerns. They're legit and they are valid. I feel comfortable with my ability to use technology to either send a text message or an email, browse the internet, or take a photo. Again, I'm sorry, it's not a Likert scale. It's either agree or disagree. Can you do one or all of those things comfortably? Okay. So we've got most of you who say, yeah, I can do that. Some of you who might feel a little bit uncomfortable doing one or more of those things. That's okay. When we talk today about using technology in the classroom, I want to give you ways that are easily accessible for you. If along the way you are totally thrown off and everything's over your head, you feel like you're standing in front of a fire hydrant, I understand. We'll work with you. I'm happy to work with you one-on-one to make sure that you can try at least one of the things that we're going to talk about today. Awesome. My kids know how to use technology better than I do. If you don't have kids, you know how to use technology better than your parents. Are you all getting some affirmations? Okay, so some of you know how to use technology better than your kids. If they're young ones, that's probably the case. A lot of you feel like technology is maybe something that your kids are teaching you. I teach my mother all the time how to do fun things. And that is common. Sometimes it feels a little frightening. I'm sure if you're in a classroom with kids, I know I feel that when I'm in a classroom with kids. Oh my Lord, they know how to use this better than I do. What am I going to do? It's all okay. All right, next. Technology can be used to connect with kids in Sunday school. Again, no right or wrong answer. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? Okay, very fair. Many of you say, yeah, it can be used, and some of you don't think that that's necessarily where you want to go. Totally fine. When I was asked to give this presentation, I was actually a little fearful. What? You want to use technology in Sunday school? They don't need that. Like, let's use flannel graph. But I'm going to show you some ways that you can use it to connect with your kids in Sunday school if you choose to. Last question. When I use technology in safe ways, I'm teaching my kids to do the same. Do you agree with that or not? Again, no right or wrong answer. Okay, great. Yes, I'm glad to see that we all agree with that. If you didn't, that's fine too. But we can show our kids how to safely use technology. And that includes in the Sunday school classroom. So I'm really excited for some of the things that I'm going to be sharing with you today. y'all, there are 20 things that I've got to share with you. We're not going to do them all like right now. I think I've got a little bit of time, and then Marie's going, and then we'll do some more. So 20 ways. Again, you may feel like you are standing in front of a fire hydrant. My encouragement to those of you who feel lost with technology or feeling any anxiety when you're using technology is to find maybe one thing that I share with you today that you think, okay, I feel like I could confidently maybe start to integrate this into one of my Sunday school lessons, or, you know, use this one item for the entire month that I'm with my kids. Don't feel like you have to do all of this at one time. I'm gonna give you a little bit of background about myself. One, I grew up with a mom who was a Sunday school teacher and a dad who was the sound man. So growing up, I learned a lot about one, Sunday school, and two, technology. So I got the opportunity to put those two things together. I am a teacher at a virtual school, and we went virtual before COVID. So all the things that your kids or you were experiencing last year with technology are things that I've been using for a couple of years, and I love it. So I love technology. I love to find new ways to integrate it in my classroom and to connect with my students. So I've gotten a lot of these ideas from my own classroom and also by Googling some things, because it is totally, it's a little different to teach in an educational classroom and a Sunday school classroom. So I found some cool ways that we're going to do this today. And I don't have a clicker, so I'm sorry. If you want to view this presentation on your device, you can do that. This is another QR code. I don't know if it's going to work if the contrast doesn't work. You can also view it down at the bottom. But if you're interested in getting any of this information, there's a lot of links that I put in here so that you've got videos or tutorials of how to do something on your own, because we're not going to go through that today, but it's there for you. We can probably also get this printed out so that you can have access to it later.
I can just email it to them too.
Okay.
Later. Yeah.
Yeah. Did everybody get the QR code that wanted it on their phone? Okay. There it is. I'll give you like couple seconds. Might work, might not. I'm sorry if it doesn't. Okay, not a problem. Okay, so why are we doing this? Why are we sharing this with you? Well, first, BCV now has Wi-Fi, y'all. And I know we just talked about it doesn't always work downstairs, but it should. If it's a problem, talk to somebody. Probably Pastor David would know how to get that access for you. Also, technology is a new and fresh way to connect with your kids in Sunday school. They know how to use technology, and when they see you using it, one, they're clicked. It's clicked. They're locked in. And two, they think that you're the coolest person ever. Does that matter? No. The big important thing is if we can still use technology to teach the truths of God's Word. So throughout all of this, think about how you can teach a truth, teach Scripture to your kids. It's not just about a gimmick. It's not just about having fun. It is about connecting in new ways to share the same truths that we've always been sharing in church. And it also, like we talked about in our Kahoot, using technology in safe ways teaches your kids to do the same thing. When we're using it responsibly and when we're showing our kids how we can use it in safe ways, that's showing them and demonstrating to them how they can use it on their own. So what are we doing? We're not doing all of this at once, but we're going to talk about what you need to integrate technology, talk about set. So if we think about how a lesson is set up, usually there's a set, an introduction, there's some instruction, and times to review and extend. So I've kind of broken this up into a couple different areas where you can see how technology can be used in all of these areas. Then at the end, I do have some tips for success, because I know it's a lot. So we're going to split this up in half. Pastor David, how long do I have for this session? Sure, we can do that. Yeah, absolutely. So this is what we're doing, and we're going to start with what you need. Oh, that does not look pretty. I'm so sorry. So I will let you know what it says up there. BCB right now is a bring-your-own-device church. If you would like to integrate technology, you'll probably need to bring your own device. That could be a computer, a laptop, a tablet, or even a smartphone. All right, we can use technology. You can use a cell phone if it's for instructional purposes, and it's probably because it's not going to be for the entire lesson. Some other things that you could bring with you are Bluetooth or wired speakers. I know my phone can be pretty loud, but depends on how many kids you have. You might want to bring some Bluetooth or wired speakers if you have them. Don't go to Walmart and feel like you have to buy it. Also, a connection to projectors or the TVs. If you're using the big room downstairs, that has a connection to the TV that you can present on or project on. I think that's the only place in our church building that would have that. So if you're in a small room, use your laptop screen. We don't have huge groups of kids, so you can gather them around one laptop screen or even a tablet or even your cell phone and show them what it is that you'd like to share. So when we're talking about the set, this is getting our kids ready for instruction. There's a couple ways that you can integrate technology. Songs, worship. I said that my dad was a sound man. That was a good thing. He made other people sound good. He called himself a tenor because he would sing 10 or so parts at the same time. He was totally tone deaf and he couldn't sing. So he loves to have music playing, but he's not going to be the one to lead it. So have some songs or worship on your phone or already to go on your laptops. You can introduce a lesson or a theme using a picture or using picture. I'm just going to stay with picture, or even an introductory video. You can explore the story setting with Google Maps. You can bring your kids right to the Valley of Elah where David fought Goliath, and you can see what's there today. And you can even review unfamiliar or new vocabulary. When we were hearing things about using or teaching theology to our kids, how great would it be to show them what it is to have a covenant? Using that new technology, or using technology to visualize it and to let them see it in multiple ways. So that's what we're going to go through. So first thing, songs, worship. This one would just be using some music videos. This is only a boy named David. I'm not going to play it for you. But these are three little brothers that act out only a little boy named David. They're all in like Bible-themed costumes. They have cute little slings, and they do motions. So when you're finding music videos or when you're finding videos that you'd like to maybe share, you can find ones that are interactive for the kids that have motions so that they can do it too. I do have, on the next slide, resources for you. There are, if you just Google Sunday school songs, you're going to come up with a whole list. Some of them are, you know, Share Faith Kids, worship songs. It's just a list of songs from YouTube. Same with the next link there. There's also YouTube channels. Okay, little blurb here. you may or may not agree with the mission statement or belief statement of all of the YouTube channels that I share. That is purposely done because when you come to your own searches for finding worship music, make sure that you are finding songs that are appropriate and that teach the truths of God's word. I know that we do a great job here at our church, really making sure that the songs that we sing at our worship are full of doctrine and full of truth. So as you're looking at YouTube channels, make sure that you're listening to the songs, reading the lyrics that you're going to use with your kids to make sure that they're appropriate and to make sure that they clearly present the truth that is from God's word. So just know there are lots of YouTube channels. Not all are created equally. Some have really good lyrics or really good, you know, productions. Doesn't mean they have the greatest songs. So that's just a warning. When you're introducing a unit or a lesson theme, really fun ways, simple ways, I would say, are the first couple three emojis. Who doesn't love an emoji? This is something that you can put on your screen, or you can even print out. Show them a picture of an emoji. What does this look like? Today, we're going to talk about somebody who may have felt fear. You can use memes. If you don't know what a meme is, it's a picture. Usually it has a sarcastic phrase. There are a lot of inappropriate memes, but there are ways that you can create your own. So here's VeggieTales. I think that's pretty appropriate. You mean to tell me God is bigger than any giant? And then you can even include video clips. Whether you embed this in a PowerPoint or whether you just go to YouTube and get a link, you do some research and find a link. There's some really fun object lessons. This is by a Christian dad and his daughter that bring in scriptural truths and then do an object lesson. This one, he actually takes a cup of water, puts cardboard on the top, and turns it upside down, and the water doesn't come out. Talking a little bit about fear and how we can work through fear and how, I don't remember the whole thing, but it was cool. So watch it. and if you go to the next slide, I've got some resources. Oh, no, I don't. I have a fun game for us. So if you're on your phone, don't cheat. So if you can kind of click one, we're going to see some emojis pop up on the screen. This emoji is a character from the Bible. Look at those pictures. We have a sailboat. We have somebody swimming. Okay, Jonah. This is Jonah. Jonah gets swallowed up by the big fish. He prays. He goes to Nineveh, and he presents. Yep, you can click next, and I'll just give you the answer. There's, I think, five of those. So let's see who's next. Yell it out. I think I heard it. Yeah, Abraham and Isaac, all right? The next one. Prodigal son. So again, this is just a little bit of a warning. Make sure that you are using appropriate emojis for the age groups that you're teaching. Probably wouldn't do the prodigal son with my 4 and 5 year olds. Maybe that's more of a 3rd and 4th grade emoji. Here's the last one. Rahab, absolutely. So Rahab, who hid the 2 spies. I showed this one to my mom, and she's like, I don't get it. What are the detectives doing there? Spies, mom, spies. So there's Rahab. So you might be thinking to yourself, I don't know how to do any of that. No worries. I have some resources for you. So you can actually create your own emojis, or you can use Emojipedia to get all the emojis that are on your phone up onto your computer. There are meme generators, so I have one where you can find an image and add your own text. I really highly suggest, if you're going to use memes, create your own. The other ones out there, you got to be careful with them. And just more YouTube channels for you. Saddleback Kids, again, remember, there's my warning. But they do have some really well-produced videos that show a simple truth. And also family moments, and these are the really cool object lessons with the dad and his daughter. They share a scripture verse, they share a real life story, and then they show some type of object lesson to share truth. Okay, exploring the story setting. This is one of my favorite ways to integrate technology, and it's with photos. You can do this on your computer, you can do this on your phone. So one way is you create a fuzzy image. It's great for your kids to be able to use context clues and to start making predictions. What is that? I don't know, but if you click again, it'll get a little bit more in focus. Okay, any guesses? It's really fuzzy. A stingray? Okay. A mushroom? Okay, I'm hearing things. If we click again, let's see if we can get it more in focus. Okay, and one more time, comes into clear view. Again, if you're in the back, I'm sorry. But this is water and stones. So what story might involve rippling brook with some stones in the brook? David and Goliath. So you can show them a picture, have them, you know, imagine if they were there at the brook picking those up, and have them predict. Here's another way you can do it. It's a picture reveal. I've got a picture under there. Every time that we click next, one of those boxes is going to disappear. You can do this quickly. You can do this as slow as you want. Kids, what is that? What is in there? What could be underneath all of those squares? Sheep. There we go. Well, David was a shepherd. He worked in the fields. Probably something that looked like this. Maybe a little bit more mountainous. And a zoomed object. This is one that's great to do with your own photos. You can go out into the garden, take a photo of something that's really zoomed in, and then zoom it out and have your kids, maybe for the days of creation, figure out, what is this picture of? So the first one, it was red, it was the leaves. We've got oranges. The next yellow is a little butterfly. Zoom out, we've got a sea turtle. This is a bird, that's a kingfisher bird, and a little flower. So again, if you're thinking through this, oh my gosh, those photos, I don't know how she made those animations work. When you have access to that PowerPoint, I have videos that say, how do you do this? You can click on that. I will walk you through a video of how you can get those objects. A little clarifier on photos. There is a thing called copyright. I do have later on some royalty-free websites where you can find free photos. They don't have any of the watermarks on them, and they're free to use. Be very careful if you're going to Google an image. Those oftentimes are copyrighted. Churches and schools have some like freedoms with it, but I really like to be above reproach when I'm using PowerPoints and when I'm using presentations. We need to teach our kids to be above reproach too. When they go into school and they use an image that's copyrighted, they could get a zero on their presentation because it's plagiarism and copyright infringement. So either use your own photos or use some lists of some royalty-free websites. Then we've got Google Earth and Maps. I'm not going to click in here, but Google Earth, if you're familiar with that, it's a globe. And you can zoom in and zoom out to 3D locations across the globe. You can also use Google Maps to show locations. It's really fun. And when I was growing up, we had a lot of those Child Evangelism Fellowship images, the beautiful oil paintings of Jesus sitting on a rock with children around him. With things like Google Earth and Google Maps, we can see the rocky terrain. You can see a little bit more of the realistic location where Jesus may have walked or where your story is taking place. So if you've got the older kids and you're working with them, I remember thinking that Jesus was white until probably middle school or high school when we learned, oh, maybe that's probably not true. So the earlier you can get into the realistic images, to me, that's a plus. But again, think about the age group that you're working with. What do they need to be able to understand the truth from God's word? Okay, and reviewing unfamiliar new vocabulary. I think this is the last one, and then we're going to be done. So sound effects. Guys, do you know what a shofar is? Because I only ever heard it as a ram's horn until I was in college. And if the kids have never heard what a ram's horn sounds like, you can add little sound effects and let them hear. If they don't know what a harp sounds like, or a dove, or panpipes, find some royalty-free sounds, which I have for you. I've got a great website. And you can integrate those into your lessons. You don't want to use a PowerPoint? That's fine. Go to YouTube. You'll find like 3-minute long videos of Jewish men blowing the shofar. It's beautiful. It's loud. But it's great if you're going to talk about Joshua and the Jericho and just what they may have heard when they were blowing those ram's horns. Okay, this is something from my education world. This is called a Frayer model. A Frayer model has 4 squares. And I'm going to thank the Allisons for this specific example. I was downstairs in nursery, and they were across in the preschool room talking about locusts. And so they taught their kids about locusts. And I thought, oh my goodness, yeah, I wouldn't have known what a locust was at that age. And now they're learning. So a Frayer model has 4 specific parts. It has a definition where you can get as specific or as generic as you need. Now, I know it's really small up there. I'm sorry. But it just gives a definition in the blue square. Next to it, you can use a synonym or an antonym, or even when you're working with biblical words, adding in that symbolism of what did this represent in the Bible. Generally, the yellow square, if you're in an education place, they're going to have the kids use it in a sentence. But I just changed that to say, okay, where are you going to learn about this in the Bible? So the locust, we had the 8th plague in Exodus, and it's also what John the Baptist ate in the wilderness, which happens to be what the Allisons were teaching about that day. So I loved it. And then the last picture is just the last square is just a picture of what a locust is so that they can get an image of that. And in the very center, you're going to see what that vocab word is. Again, this is great when you're teaching new theology words, covenant, grace. I mean, how challenging can it be for a kid to image or imagine or visualize what a covenant is or what grace is? So if you can help them by creating some of this, again, older kids are probably going to be having a little bit more words on theirs than maybe the younger kids who can't even read yet. But you can create something like this. And there's lots and lots of templates online. You can put one on a PowerPoint. You can print it out and have your kids use it. Okay, and that's all I'm going to do right now because it's about lunchtime, so we'll get into this later.
You have been listening to a message from the Bible Church of Brownsburg. For more information, please visit our website at www.bcb.church or call 317-852-7475.